listening to a podcast recording of The Nature of Things. This podcast was initially recorded June 7th, 1991.
I know I've said it before, but things haven't changed. For all of the advances in modern architecture that save time and make life more comfortable, I'm still in awe of a group of architects who have practiced their craft virtually unchanged for eons. I'm talking about the birds, of course. Considering the materials and the technology involved, the feathered builders have no peers in my eyes. Where in the world can you find a construction more exquisite than the nest of a hummingbird, a vireo, or a bluegay gnatcatcher, all trim, functional, and exquisitely fashioned? That's a modest assessment. Then, for elaborateness, we might want to go abroad to examine the work of weaver birds or other colonial nesters, whose creations, ounce for ounce, are as elaborate and bulky as any skyscrapers or condominium complex. Still, it may be the functionless complexity material strength index that is the most amazing. Some birds create from flimsy, pliable fibers a structure that can persist for years beyond its usefulness. That's another interesting facet of the bird's supreme craft and operational strategy. Because their nest sites are strong, but as changeable as the sands, most birds change nest sites with every new clutch of eggs. This means an average of slightly less than a week invested in the building process for each brood of young, about a sixth to a tenth of the total of the nest's useful period. An excessive investment of time, you might say. From the standpoint of the builder, you might be right, but nests are often reused by other proprietors, such as mice, insects, or other birds, often after a modest amount of remodeling. A deer mouse may provide a roof and a new lining to a catbird's nest. A hawk or an owl may build its nest on the foundation of last season's crow's nest. Regardless of this on-site reuse, an abandoned nest is normally completely recyclable. Other birds may borrow the handy building materials. No requirement of removing nails or breaking off pieces of plaster or concrete. Even the plastered nests of robin and barn swallows are soluble in water. Softened by humid conditions, they break away and are soon returned to the earth from which they were formed, as are the sticks, grasses, and fibers that make up the normal one-season, one-use avian edifice. How about those birds that build their nests in boxes or cavities in trees using sticks or fibers? Well, even there, recycling is common. Good hole nesting sites are often at a premium, and next season the cavity may be cleaned out and renovated by a bird of the same species or by some other kind of bird. There are some negative facets in this reuse policy involving parasites and diseases, but only man makes value judgments about such things. Whether you choose to attribute the strategies of nature to a deity or to a happenstance of unfolding energy patterns, one creature's misfortune is another's good fortune. Such a system can't abide moralizing. The outcome is simply a perpetuation of the system of energy flow and a replenishment or erosion of the resource base. The outcomes are more or less inevitable, and the product is always worthy. It might be meaningful here to outline birds' differing building strategies. Method and craftsmanship vary. The hummingbird uses a combination of felting, that's pressure molding, binding, using cobwebs and other fine but strong fibers, and adornment with natural objects, especially lichens attached with adhesive saliva. These produce a miniature home that is both dainty and unobtrusive. The hummingbird, most would agree, is a consummate natural artist. His work is an artful replica of the base on which it is built. The oriole is a true weaver, using mostly the fine but strong fibers of the milkweed stem to produce a deep and secure cradle, securely lashed to the distal twigs of elm, maple, or other shade tree. The oriole is a skilled natural craftsman. Some shorebirds, some waterfowl, and some game birds are experts at minimalization. They take advantage of what is already on site to create a functional home, often by rearranging or compressing a few leaves or twigs, or carefully placing a few stones. With them, the art is in the proper selection of nest site, so that they or or their clutch of eggs will be completely screened from prying eyes. The killdeer excels at this artistry right out in the open. From time immemorial, the birds have succeeded, and given half a chance, will continue to succeed at finding a proper niche in nature's scheme. Sometimes, however, we throw them curves. We present major obstacles to their success. Often, changes result from someone making the observation. This area is doing no good to anybody. It has to go. Really? Perhaps we should first consider what sort of professional status we're willing to allot to these masters of the art, science, and craft of native architecture. They have few peers when it comes to producing a work worthy of contemplation and study. Now, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.